Thank you for donating more than $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past 3 weeks. With 2 weeks left in 2015, we're $16,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
If you could depict this with a nativity scene, there would be no baby Jesus. Mary was not pregnant with potential. Mary was pregnant with the God who spoke the universe into existence.
If it's all about happy, clappy, you know, Jesus is my best friend, we're all going to heaven, those folks are not going to make it.
We know where the church is at based off where preaching happens and where the sacraments are. So Lutheran Missions, it sets out to plant a church.
Baptize and then teach, says Jesus. But for the evangelical, the verse is simply, go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, that's it.
And in the last 30 minutes of Issues Etc. today, we're playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Just a taste of the four soundbites that we have for you. You'll be listening, and then you'll be voting by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The church is going to be remembering our first parents, our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, tomorrow, December 19th. We thought in advance here on this Friday afternoon we would do the same. Joining us to remember Adam and Eve, Dr. Joel Heck, professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and author of the book, In the Beginning, God. Dr. Heck, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you again, Todd.
I guess since their day falls so close to the nativity of our Lord, a question occurs to me here. Are Adam and Eve the very first to hear about the coming birth of Christ?
Well, since they're the first human beings and the first to fall into sin and the first to need a Savior, yes, I firmly believe that they are the first ones to hear about God's plan of salvation. Maybe not with the detail and the specificity that we now enjoy from our New Testament revelation, but certainly the first promise of a Savior, by most accounts, seems to me, is Genesis 3:15.
And just to go into a little more detail, what is said there that Adam and Eve, wherein Adam and Eve hear the promise of the birth of Christ?
Yes, the fall into sin has been recorded earlier in that chapter, and God has come looking for Adam and Eve. Not that he didn't know where they were, but he does come walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hide, and then God speaks to them very kindly, very gently, trying to bring them to the point of repentance, to an awareness of their sin, because there's a reason why they're hiding. And towards the end of that conversation, the 15th verse, God says, I will put enmity, that is bad feelings, between you. He's speaking to the serpent at this point, to Satan, and the woman. So there will be bad ill will between Satan and the human race, between your offspring and hers, those who follow Satan and those who follow in the lineage of the woman, which means the entire human race. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So the he, all of a sudden, he shifts, the author shifts from the offspring or a collection of lots of people, millions, even billions of people, to one individual male. And even the Septuagint in the Greek translation of this text from the Hebrew uses the masculine singular pronoun to refer to to translate the he that we now see in the English. I mean, translate it from the Hebrew into the Greek. And so the he is referring to a single and individual male descendant of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. And the serpent is identified in various places, especially, for instance, in Revelation 12 as Satan. And so Satan's work has been crushed at the cross, Christians believe. even though you, which is the serpent, which is Satan, will strike his heel. So there will be a battle that will go on. The offspring of the woman will suffer in the process, will be dealt a serious blow, but the ultimate victory belongs to the offspring of the woman, because that offspring will crush the head of the serpent. And probably the best place in the New Testament where that passage is echoed in the last chapter of the book of Romans, 16th chapter, verse 20, St. Paul says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." So God has already done that at the cross, and Christ has done that for us. But I know we're thinking about Advent and Christmas at this time, so maybe we ought not to rush too quickly ahead to Calvary.
So let's talk about Adam and Eve a little bit. In some ways, they are they're inaccessible to us because as they are originally created, they are so, on account of the fall into sin, we are separated from those, the pre-fall Adam and Eve, by really our own sinfulness. We just cannot comprehend their relationship to God or who they were created in the perfect and unsullied image of God. Is that true?
That's true, yes. None of us have ever had the experience that Adam and Eve had after their initial creation, before the fall into sin, of being in a right relationship with God, totally right relationship with God, without any of the taint of sin on their character. We've just never experienced that, having been born in sin, having been sinful from the moment of conception, as David confesses in the 51st Psalm.
So if we were writing a biography, often when the church remembers these biblical saints, we can say a lot about their biography. With them, we can talk about what? We can talk about the fall, which is where we suddenly begin to understand them much better. They begin to act like us, and we're told how, you know, that behavior. But then there's their lives subsequent to that. What can we say of them?
What can we say of Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
The first two human beings whose names give an indication of the importance of their position in human history. Adam's name, I mean, a very popular name for parents to give their sons today. Adam's name basically means man, and Eve's name means life. A fact, or two facts, that have led some to conclude that these two human beings weren't actual human beings, historical individuals, but that the early chapters of Genesis are simply myth or parable trying to represent what mankind is like today. I don't subscribe to that position myself, but that is what is held in some portions of the world and even in the church today.
Dr. Joel Heck is our guest. Be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're remembering along with the church, as the church prepares to remember Adam and Eve tomorrow. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and author of the book, In the Beginning, God. Stay tuned.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
a mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Joel Heck is our guest. We're talking about Adam and Eve on this Friday afternoon, December the 18th. Dr. Heck, you said before the break that you don't subscribe to the, sadly, kind of common notion that Adam and Eve are, it's a myth or it's a legend that has been retained because it has some sort of moral truth to teach, some theological truth to deliver, but they didn't actually exist as the book of Genesis records their lives. Why do you maintain that that is not only an impossible position, but why do you reject that position?
Well, we're fortunate to be part of a church body that has an approach to Scripture that prizes the historical, the geographical, the archaeological validity of the words of Scripture. And most of the time, in fact, probably 90% of the time as we read the Scripture, we don't need to do anything in the way of interpretation. We just need to read it and believe it. It's a straightforward message, and the straightforward reading of the early chapters of Genesis takes those chapters as history. And not only the way that one reads the early chapters of Genesis or all of Genesis, but also the way the rest of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament treats these chapters at the beginning of the Bible as well. Every reference that you will find to Adam and Eve from Romans 5 and 6 to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." I would even argue that if Adam is not historical and Christ is not historical, that the correlation between the historical events of both Adam and Christ is important, perhaps even necessary, in order to secure our redemption. So those are among the reasons. There are others as well, but those are among the reasons for considering those early chapters of Genesis to be straightforward history.
So your argument here is, look, Paul and Jesus and other biblical writers certainly take Adam and Eve to be literal figures, but in addition to that, Paul bases an argument of redemption upon, kind of hinges on the existence of a guy named Adam who fell just as Genesis records those events. And if you take that element out of his argument, then the validity of Christ himself is called into question.
Yes, I believe so. And that's also one of the reasons why some are challenging the historicity of Adam and Eve, because if there were no original people, there was no actual fall, then there is no problem, there is no need for redemption, and no need for a savior either. So there is a strong argument in favor of the historical nature of the early chapters of Genesis based on the story of redemption in the New Testament.
I think a question that sometimes lingers, since we're reading it as history, the account of Genesis goes on to talk about the descendants of Adam and Eve, and then in time it even records, at least just records the fact of Adam's death, how old he was. The time frames there of everyone's lifespans, including Adam's, are enormous. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years, the oldest being almost 1,000 years. How would you explain that to someone who says, look, they just look like they were living so long? What was different about them?
Yeah, it's interesting if you plot the ages of all the people whose deaths are recorded in the book of Genesis from the first chapter to the 50th chapter, you find a gradual lessening of the lifespan of the people from Adam and Eve living to 900 and some years to Joseph dying at about age 110 in the last chapter of Genesis. So it makes sense that the lifespans are taken literally and that there is a gradual decline in the length of time that these people lived. I think there are a number of reasons for it, but one of the reasons for it is because of the gradual impact of the fall into sin generation after generation, because the first two people were sinless at the beginning and then fell into sin, and that had an impact upon them. Their children would have been sinful from birth or from conception, as we said earlier. So their entire lifespan would be affected by sin, and gradually through the generations, lifespans decline because of the impact of sin. Others argue that there are other features, some of them associated with the global flood that dramatically changed the landscape and changed the type of plant life that was growing on the earth, so that things weren't as healthy an environment for people to live in as they were previously. And so over the centuries, gradually people's lifespans declined.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, how does an understanding of the historical reality of Adam and Eve, our first parents, deepen our appreciation for this coming season of Christ's nativity?
Yes, the first two people, historical individuals, God himself becoming a human being, pointing out the way of our salvation by investing humanity with the glory of God coming into human flesh in the incarnation. So Christian religion is one of the very few religions that thoroughly approves of the body, not only the first human beings, but every human being since then, and the fact that God took on a human body, as John 1:14 indicates with its reference to the incarnation, shows that God came to meet us where we are, to meet us in our need, and though he himself did not sin, he understood our predicament and came to live among us, to tent among us, as John 1:14 suggests in the original Greek, so that he might accomplish our redemption.
Dr. Joel Hick is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and author of the book, In the Beginning, God. You can find out more about this book, In the Beginning, God, a very short and solid reference to the creation account, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for In the Beginning by Dr. Joel Hick. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Hick, thanks for being our guest.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Chris Roseborough is going to join us. He joins us every week as often as he can at the end of the week to do This Week in Pop American Christianity. Boy, we spent a lot of time about a year ago talking about Mark Driscoll when his ministry was in decline and eventually falling apart at the seams. He's back in the ministry. We'll talk about that and some New Year's prophecies from within Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.